You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show. Serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
Where do the Seahawks go from here? What now? What's next? Is that question hard to answer? It may be. You get wrapped up in offensive philosophy. You get wrapped up in personalities. You get wrapped up in loyalty. You get wrapped up in soap opera and ego, and all those things come together, and it can get complicated in a hurry. Where do you go from here? Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, John Schneider, the roster, the scheme, the egos involved, right? All of those things come together and can make it really convoluted in a hurry. I want to try to simplify it. I want to do the best thing I can do to try to simplify it by asking one incredibly simple question. The answer may be hard, but it's a simple question. And the goal is to put everything you think through one lens that will help clarify where the Seahawks go from here. It's the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Thanks for being here with us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. You can hear us on the 710 Sports app. You can hear us at 710sports.com. You can go find it at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it. Come listen to the show. We really appreciate it. Here's the simple question. Okay? Where do you go from here? Ask this question. What gives you the best chance to win another Super Bowl as soon as possible? That's it. That is the question you're trying to answer, right? It's not how do you deal with this person's ego or get these two people to get along, or it's none of that. The question starts with, how do you win another Super Bowl as soon as possible? That's your goal. That's why you get in this business, right? To win championships. How do you win your next championship as soon as possible? What's the best path to getting there? Then you can start to come up with answers to those questions, and that's where we all may differ. One person may say you've got to have the quarterback. Russell Wilson's an elite franchise guy. That's who you commit to and go with whatever it is he wants to do long term. And, you know, there's some validity to that. Tom Brady showing what he can do in Tampa versus what Bill Belichick has done so far in New England is a pretty strong endorsement of a quarterback-centric franchise. On the other hand, you saw Jared Goff. Yes, he would struggle at times over the last few years, but the Rams were consistently one of the best teams in the league, right? They beat the Seahawks twice last year, including in the playoffs. Jared Goff's about to get benched in Detroit. So it's not just the quarterback. And I know Jared Goff's not at the elite end of that spectrum, but you're seeing the difference in Matthew Stafford from last year to this one when he changed franchises. So there's an element of coaching. There's an element of roster construction that certainly comes in. You can't just point at the quarterback. By the way, it's not like Brady's doing this himself. He had a pretty good defensive line last year, which got after Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in that Super Bowl. He had a pretty good running game with Fournette. He's got some pretty good receivers. He brought Gronk out of retirement, and that was still been a factor. So it's not like it's just been Brady. So there's no one simple answer that you point to and say, all right, that's it. That's how we get good. But that's the question you're trying to answer. Maybe you look at it and say, hey, I believe the best way to win a Super Bowl is to draft the young quarterback, pay him on a rookie salary, and put as much talent around him as I possibly can during that time. If that's the case, you might be ready to move on from Russell Wilson. You might be ready to think about a new way to build this thing and deal him in the offseason and try to acquire as many picks as possible to get that next quarterback who's going to be your guy. I think you might be forgetting how hard that is to find. It's not easy. I think you may be forgetting what life looks like when you don't have one of those guys. You saw it for at least the last game with Geno Smith. You may be forgetting that there is a fate worse than not having your franchise quarterback. You know what it is? Having the wrong one. Nothing worse than betting on the wrong one.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, I was going to say, Justin, you're a Bengals fan. You know a lot about this over however many years.
Oh, yeah.
What's it like when you don't have a franchise quarterback? It's a bummer, right? You know that you're like, you're trying to go through it. This was a few years ago with Tavares Jackson, right? You know you don't have your guy, Charlie Whitehurst. You're filtering through. You're doing the best you can. You probably, when you're in that spot, say, you know who I'll try? Matthew Fitzpatrick. Or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, I think I say Matt Flynn.
Sorry, no, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Matthew Fitzpatrick's a golfer.
Okay, yes.
Not a very good one.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, yeah.
You're probably like, oh, let's try Fitzmagic, see if that works for a little while, because we don't have a franchise quarterback. That's not a great place to
be. Fitzmagic always works for a little
while. For a little while. But there's nothing worse than having the wrong guy. When you bet on it and you're like, hey, let's draft Mitchell Trubisky in the top five, and now you got to give him 3 years of opportunity to see if he can show you he's the right guy, only to find out, yep, he's not. Sorry, got the wrong guy. Good thing you invested in him. Good thing you drafted him in the top five or whatever it is. Right? That's the worst realization in all of sports. Whoops, got the wrong guy.
Josh Rosen.
Sorry. Thankfully, for the Cardinals, they at least pulled the trigger quick and said, oh, got the wrong guy. How do we get rid of this dude as
right
soon
away.
As humanly
yeah.
possible? And they were so bad they were able to get Kyler Murray, and they now look like they've got the right guy. So there is an element of hey, careful what you wish for, but I'll give you the other side of that as well. There's so many good young quarterbacks coming into the league every year, right? And you can get them throughout the first round. Joe Burrow looks like he might be that guy. Kyler Murray looks like he should be that guy. Josh Allen might be that guy. There's a lot of there's a lot of dudes in the NFL right now that are trending towards being franchise quarterbacks. But sometimes you get Carson Wentz. Whoops, sorry. Invested in the wrong guy. Whoopsies. Right? That's your franchise quarterback? Not going
to
work.
To answer your question, I'll answer your question with a question. What would it take? Or phrase your question one more time exactly the way you worded it. What gives them the best chance to win another Super Bowl as soon as possible?
Yep.
Okay. If you were to go back to when they did win a Super Bowl the year prior and ask that same question, what did they do in that year that helped them get over the top to win the Super
From
Bowl?
From 2012 to 13? Well, they went out and invested in their defensive line, right? There was Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett were the two biggest acquisitions they made that year.
And I'm not saying we're the same in 2012.
It was made leading up to that, right? It was made with the drafting of Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman and the left tackle, what's his name, who they drafted number six overall that year.
Okung.
Russell Okung, yes. I mean, like, that's where it was made. And then eventually Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner. And then eventually a couple of guys to put them over the top.
You're right. So it's not an easy
question. And the
draft
panning out the way it did is not something you can plan on replicating.
It was an unbelievable confluence of draft picks that all came together with the right coach in the right moment. But all the decisions Pete will make on the offensive philosophy and running and passing and Cam and Geno and Russell and this and that, it's all got to be made, I think, not through the filter of how do you win tomorrow's game, how do you get back to the Super Bowl as soon as possible and win it? That's the goal, right? That's the goal. And so I'm not going to get all the way deep into how to answer that question today. I don't know the answer to it right now. We're going to be figuring it out over the course of this year so that by this offseason, we have a pretty good sense, because it doesn't look today as if this is a team going to the Super Bowl this year. So the decisions you make have to be made with an eye towards how do you get there the soonest. That's why the Mariners tore things down in 2018. They thought the best and quickest path to the World Series was not by continuing to invest in Robinson Cano, Nelly Cruz, and Kyle Seager. It was by tearing it down and getting a huge influx of talent that they thought would give them the best chance to get there as soon as possible. We'll find out if they're right, but the clarity of how they made the decision, I agree with 100%. It's why even when it was hard, the Seahawks moved on from Matt Hasselbeck. We got to move on. Great quarterback. Unbelievable what he did here in town. But time to move on. Time to find the next guy who's going to bring you to a Super Bowl. And they made the right choice. They spent a year wandering in the desert, and the next year, they ended up with Russell Wilson. 2 years later, they're in the Super Bowl.
I think you would be insane to move on from Russell Wilson for any reason other than they just can't work together anymore.
But then
we could be heading that direction. We don't know.
We could be. We absolutely could be.
But to me, that's the only reason you move on from him, is he and Pete and this franchise just have had too much
turbulence between them. Yeah, I heard somebody say yesterday they're just sort of stuck in the mud, and like, what do you do to shake things up, because they seem to be sort of in this neutral area? I think there's some legitimate questions there, and I'm not willing to answer it today because we're not there. We're not at that point yet where you've got to make that kind of decision. But you do need to have an eye towards how do you win your next Super Bowl the soonest. That's how you make decisions in the NFL. If you guys have texts on that, you can drop them in here, 206-421-3776. That is the Mac and Jack's text line. All right, I've been kind of delaying this because it's a difficult conversation, I will admit. And there will be those who will be mad no matter what I say next. But I do want to talk about what happened yesterday at Washington State University with Nick Rolovich. It's complicated. Can I start there by saying it's complicated? It's not simple. And I'm not willing to say absolutely this, absolutely that. I think it's a complicated situation. I know there are really strong opinions on all sides of it. There's a lot of anger associated with the way COVID-19 has been handled. I get into fights with friends over it. It's not unique. I tried to look at it from a bunch of different perspectives, and I tried to put myself into a few people's shoes. I tried to be is that sympathy or empathy? Whichever one it is, I tried to use that one.
Empathy.
I always forget which is which. And I will let you know, just for the sake of the conversation, so you know where I'm at, and this probably won't surprise you, I'm vaccinated. I got vaccinated the first moment it was possible. I believe in it. I have no issues wearing a mask. It doesn't bother me. But those are my choices. That's the way I've chosen to live my life. I certainly have friends who have made very different ones. And we're still friends. And it's okay. So what I thought yesterday was, okay, Nick Rolovich has been terminated for cause. How would I feel if? How would I feel if I was a state employee in Washington yesterday? I'd be upset, honestly. And I say that as somebody who is vaccinated, et cetera, but I'd be upset. No one wants to be told what to do. No one wants to be mandated to do anything. No one wants to be told what to put into their body. And I'd be very uncomfortable with my employment choices being limited. I understand that the government is not saying, do this, you have to, or you're going to be arrested. They're saying, do this or you can't work here. And there is a significant difference between those two types of mandates. But you're limiting my employment options. And I have a job right now if I'm a state employee. So, yeah, I would be upset about that. And I'd wonder why there was no testing exemption. So that's one perspective. If I was a player at Washington State University, I'd feel betrayed. I'd feel betrayed yesterday. I might be mad at the coach for not sacrificing for the good of the team, something coaches tend to ask for. I might be mad at the state for its mandate forcing his hand, but I probably wouldn't spend much time figuring out where my anger would be best placed because I'd be like 20 years old. I just want my coach, especially right now as my season is starting to come together after a rough start, and especially where for some, and I know Theo Lawson was tweeting about this yesterday, everything they've endured. This will be their third coach, fourth if they're here next year. And they endured, you know, the season loss to COVID, the suicide of Tyler Helinski. I mean, just it's a lot that has come together at that university for those kids in a fairly short amount of time. So I think there would be an element of betrayal if I was a player for Washington State. If I was a Wazoo fan, I'd be embarrassed. I honestly would be embarrassed, regardless of my feelings on vaccines. My school is back in the national news for all the wrong reasons. I don't want to be in the news for this. I want to be in the news for, you know, winning games. That's why I'm a fan. Rolovich hasn't really won, but he's been sued by a former player with allegations of racial bias, hiding COVID cases. The Rolovich stuff is not limited to just what happened with this exemption and this rule. This is just adding to it in the final straw. If I'm a Kook fan, I just want to go park my RV in the lot and party with my fellow Kooks. That seems to be what Kooks fans want.
And they're really good at it.
Yeah, and this is taking away from some of that. So, yeah, I'd be embarrassed. If I was a parent, I'd be disappointed in Rolovich, quite frankly. He's paid to be a leader and to teach young men, and regardless of what you think of his decision, he's not standing for it. He's not explaining why he feels the way he does. He's hiding, and I don't think that's the way for him to lead. And if I were a doctor, I'd be frustrated, quite frankly. I think this medicine has been declared safe by the FDA. That's a fact. And the latest research shows that while the vaccine's not perfect, it's better at stopping the spread than not being vaccinated. So if I were a doctor, I think I'd be pretty frustrated today that people seem to be refusing this vaccine for political reasons. I'd be upset about that if I were a doctor. And if I were a taxpayer, which I am, but if I were a taxpayer here in Washington, I think I would try to look at this, and I know this is hard for people at times, to say, the majority of taxpayers, of voters in Washington, elected Jay Inslee in the middle of a pandemic, eyes wide open, knowing what was going on. Rolovich is a public employee. So in theory, he works for the taxpayers. And the prevailing majority opinion of the taxpayers in this state is that they believe this is the best way to stop the spread of COVID-19. You have to be vaccinated. Them is the rules. That's the situation that he got himself into. He can go find another job. He's not being told that he has to put something into his body. He's being told that if he wants to work for this employer, he does. And there's plenty of private businesses doing the same. So, there's a lot of different perspectives that you can look at here. I know that there'll be people who are mad about some of these. I know that there are people who will say that I'm trying to give a political agenda. I'm not. I'm trying to look at it from as many different perspectives as I can to figure out how to sort through a complicated situation. And it is that. It's not simple. As much as I have my personal opinions on it, I don't know that mine are any better than anybody else's. But I do know that if I were in some of those different spots, it'd be a real bummer. And I do feel for the kids at Wazoo. I feel for Jaden Delora. I don't know if you read what he said. Words cannot express our profound sadness and disappointment in the termination of our coach, Nick Rolovich. Playing for him was a great honor that all of us will cherish forever. He put trust in me and allowed me to grow as a man, both on and off the field. And for that reason, we strongly disagree with today's decision. But we understand that Cougar football has always been bigger than any one person. We're a band of brothers who play and sacrifice for each other, no matter who the head coach is. This is a very difficult time for all of us on the team. Change is always hard. What we need now more than ever is the loud and passionate support the Cougar faithful can bring to Martin Stadium. So let's pack the house on Saturday and show this entire nation the special bond that we all have as WSU Cougars. That's a kid that I want to play with.
That's a leader, yeah.
That's a leader. That's a kid who's got something to say. And by the way, he's been balling out on the field. That's a kid I want to roll with. That's for sure. 7:15, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, Pete Carroll says he was, quote, so freaking pissed after the first half on Sunday night. And you know what? It's hard to blame him. I think Seahawks fans were as well. His team had not done squat offensively, and worse, I don't think Pete recognized the style of game that they were playing. So something happened in that locker room. Something happened to change things in the second half. Pete wouldn't give us all the details, but when they returned, played a much better style of football, one that you know Pete endorsed. So the way I see it, Pete tried to be okay. He tried to be okay with the shift towards passing. He hired a young Turk out of the Rams system to appease Russell. He said in training camp that his system could handle more passing. He talked after week one about being able to adapt. But when his team lost a game, when they lost their quarterback and they were down early, he just wasn't able to keep up the charade any longer. So Pete believes you need to run to win. And he told me yesterday, there's a lot of people who want to gripe and complain about running the football, but you saw we scored 20 points in the second half by controlling the football game. That's what he believes at his core. Now, where this gets interesting is when Russell Wilson returns, because Pete also said this is how we need to play for the next few weeks and on into the season. So will Russ be okay with that? Will this accelerate whatever issues caused him to list those four teams he'd consider in a trade, or can they win enough games to satisfy Russ? The intrigue will continue for sure. Fantastic Monday night game in Tennessee. They came back from behind late to beat Buffalo. Defense stopping Josh Allen on a fourth down quarterback sneak at the goal line to secure the win. Now, the Bills could have kicked the field goal there and just played for overtime. Instead, they opted to go for it. Jeffrey Simmons made a huge play to win the game. Three touchdowns, by the way, to go with 143 yards for Derrick Henry. Couple of thoughts. One, yeah, running the ball can sure work, especially if you've got a guy like Derrick Henry. And then also, who on the Seahawks defense would have taken over like that? Who's that war daddy that Mark Schlereth mentioned that would have made the big play for them in that moment? That's something they absolutely need moving forward.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, ugliest game we've seen so far from the Kraken. It really was bad. They got blown out, blown off the ice in Philly, lose 6-1. First time they've really looked overmatched. They look like an expansion team. Like the old school expansion teams with the old rules where you struggled for a few years and didn't look like you belonged because you had everybody else's cast-offs. That's what they looked like last night. Philip Grubauer making his fourth straight start in net. That surprised me. My understanding was this was supposed to be more of a timeshare with Chris Drieger. That has not been the case so far. Regardless, Drieger had to come into the game as Grubauer was pulled after the fifth goal in the second period. So, yeah, usually when that happens, it's not all the goalie's fault. Suspect defense sure appeared to be part of the issue, although I'm not sure Grubauer helped very much last night. You can chalk it up to an off night for a team that's maybe tired from a long road trip to start a very emotional season, but it was also the chippiest game we've seen yet. A whole bunch of legitimate fights stemming from players taking exception to some liberties being taken. Jamie Oleksiak acquitted himself well. He was a clear winner in his fight. Nathan Bastian, though, whoa, did he get hammered. That was bad. Very bad. Carson Soucy with the lone goal. They're back at it tonight in New Jersey. I would expect Drieger to get the start. We'll find out soon. Red Sox hit their third Grand Slam in two games. This time, Kyle Schwarber doing the honors as Boston cruises to a 12-3 win in Game 3 over Houston. Lead the series 2-1. Game 4 tonight, 5 o'clock, Zach Greinke and Nick Pivetta. Game 3 of the NLCS will be at 2 o'clock. Walker Buehler and Charlie Morton in that one.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, we just talked about it. Nick Rolovich terminated for cause by Washington State University after the deadline for state employees to be vaccinated had passed. He did not get vaxxed and thus was one of five coaches among the many state employees to be let go yesterday. Defensive coordinator Jack Dickert will take over as the head coach for now. Athletic director Pat Chun calling it disheartening, but said their priority would be, quote, the health and well-being of the student athletes. As for long-term replacement, some names have surfaced. Bruce Feldman offering an early list of names, including Jay Norvell, Brent Brennan, Kalen DeBoer, and Troy Calhoun. Those are three things you need to know. We do that every hour. Quarter past the hour.
Good text from the 209. I almost said 206. 209. The interesting question, if you believe as strongly in the run game as the foundation of the team mm-hmm. and the philosophy, why pay Russ at the very top of the market?
Well, I don't think Pete's stupid. He knows that you got to have a quarterback to win.
He's just saying with his cap hit, it's impossible to put together an elite roster.
No, I don't think that's true. You just have to draft better than they have over the course of the last 10 years. Not 3 years, 10 years.
10.
I mean, you just have to draft better over the course of the last 10 years. You've got to hit on your draft picks. Instead of trading back and then taking Malik McDowell, you take TJ Watt.
Mm.
Right? I mean, like, you've got to, and that's not a criticism specifically. No one knows exactly what's going to come out of any draft pick, but you've got to make hits like that, not misses. Instead of taking Rashad Penny, you need to take Nick Chubb. Instead of taking this guy, you need to take that guy. I'm not saying he made any one of those one, because that happens all the time. Nobody gets them all right. But you got to hit on more than they have in the course of the last 10 years.
And when you do spend money, you need to get guys that fit your system. So we got to see if they can get Jamal Adams working better within
their system. That's exactly right. You've got to make the right decision. You got to make more right decisions with your money. It tightens the need for smart decisions, right? There's a lot less margin for error once you're paying your quarterback. But this idea that you can't win while paying your quarterback money, I don't buy that. I think you can. And I think you need to have a franchise quarterback if you want to win Super Bowls. Russell is that. And by the way, the Russell Wilson we saw for the whole first, 8 years of his career was efficient. That's what Pete wants. Russ was perfectly suited for the offensive philosophy Pete ran. Between his ability to aid the running game with his own running ability, his intelligence at the line of scrimmage and making calls, and then his accuracy, decision-making, and efficiency, his ability to do more with fewer reps, I think is why Russ was perfect and why you absolutely pay Russ. Even more than that, in Pete's system, you got to be clutch late. Heck, you got to be that for every system in the NFL. Most NFL games come down to the very end. You had a guy who was able to lead touchdown drives and field goal drives and scoring drives when it matters. Of course you pay Russell Wilson. But now you got to figure out the best path forward for everybody to work together, and that's where the challenge starts. All right, coming up next, this was the most embarrassing porta-potty picture you'll ever see, and yet it's not the most embarrassing thing to happen with a porta-potty this week. It's next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Contractors, you're listening to the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Well, we do this every Tuesday at 7:30. Some ugly losses for all of us.
It doesn't feel good, but it's accountability, and that's important.
We have to be accountable to the mistakes we've made, Justin. And
I'm
certainly
to get our usual music playing.
Oh, we can't find Beck.
No, I've got it.
Has he
here,
left us?
It's just no volume.
Well, that's
I don't
all right.
Know what's going on?
Beck can be finicky. That's one of the things about him. So we'll see if we can get the loser music going as we start to take L's. Why don't we start here? While we're figuring out the music, this one should be the easiest L of the week. If you were still watching the Kraken game yesterday with about 11 minutes left in the third period, despite them being down 6-1, you saw Nathan Bastian take the L.
This will be icing against the Kraken.
Okay.
Gloves are down. Nate Thompson, as Nate Thompson and Bastian finally do go, and uppercuts to the body, and now over the top by Thompson. Bastian in the receiving end here as Thompson just hammers away. Uppercuts as it measured. Bastian in defense mode here, and he's unable to get going, and down he goes. Nate Thompson getting a standing ovation, as you might expect from the crowd. Adulation from his teammates as he roars into the penalty box.
Yikes. Oh, there's our music. He needs it after that. Play that man some L's.
I watch a lot of hockey, and you guys lose fights all the time, but I've never seen someone just have no... I don't just curl up into a ball, basically,
that
like
man
that.
Man had a family.
So, I didn't realize... Moore, you may remember Nate Thompson. That's the guy who beat him up yesterday. He used to play for the Bruins. I remember him coming up. He was like, not exactly a fighter.
No, but he looked like one yesterday.
He beat the heck out of him.
I felt like he practically took a bow when he was done, too. He skated to the box just like, I'm here. And
Bastion's a big dude.
Is Bastion supposed 6'4". To be a good fighter?
No, he's a big dude, though. He's got 4 inches or so on Thompson.
Okay.
And he asked for that one. He said, let's go.
That's an L. He's got to take that L. Give it to him.
Loser! You're a loser!
All right. I want to give an L to the Washington football team for the way they, well, for any number of reasons, but for the way they haphazardly honored Sean Taylor this weekend, apparently to distract from whatever else is going on in the news. Did you see some of the pictures of it?
What an awful botched ceremony that was.
They took some of the pictures in front of like a construction site with a bunch of porta potties.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like this would be funny if it was about anything other than honoring a player that you have lost. It is horrific. And did you hear a couple of the family members said they didn't even hear about it until 4 days before?
Well, nobody gave a speech. Like nobody, like there was nothing. They didn't do anything. Dan Snyder was wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, like a 3 sizes too big hoodie with the family. Like, could you not have dressed up for a ceremony honoring a former player?
We've only been doing this show for, I think, 5 weeks. I think Washington football team has been and take the L in all of them, or very close to it. What a disaster. We're going to get a chance to see them. But the porta potty picture is the one that got me. It just when you see, I think I retweeted it. When you see the picture, I didn't think it was real. I assumed it was somebody like photoshopping it in to make them look bad, but no, it was like a legitimate reporter in DC. He's like, yeah, no, they just decided to do it with this behind them. Like, who's working there that allows that to happen?
It's a bad team.
So yeah, they'll take the L.
It's a bunch of losers.
Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to take an L for a porta potty, and I don't know if I should admit this, Justin. I was telling you this story earlier today.
I'm surprised you went there.
Well, Brock always says that that confession is bad for the reputation, good for the soul.
Yeah.
So I'll listen for a moment. I'll heed as it. We're friends, right? It's just the three of us.
Yep.
And the three of us are getting to know each other better. So I'll be
vulnerable and honest. Yeah. And what happened with the
porta
potty?
I got after a little bit Saturday night, and so Sunday morning, Heather woke me up to do a 5K at Green Lake, right outside of my house.
Do you say you got after it Saturday night?
Yeah, I got
night.
After a little bit. So, anyway, I had been out late, and I woke up. I ran the 5K, and it was challenging. I had to, the last, like, K of it, really had to use the bathroom. But I, you know... ran a little faster, like, hey, you gotta finish this thing up. Got to use the porta potties at Green Lake, which was never a great situation. No one wants to be using the porta potties, but I did. I got through it, hanging my head in shame and like trying to get out of there as soon as possible. Fine, okay. The problem is, about 10 minutes later, I had to vomit, as sometimes happens after a late night the night before.
In the same one,
couldn't do that. That was a non-starter. That was a non-starter. So
no
I
one
had
wants to aim their face at a porta potty.
It is the worst. Can you give me the biggest L possible? You had to looking down into the porta potty.
Oh god!
But I couldn't like go in the bushes or anything because there were like people we knew there. There was like, you know, parents of our kids' friends and like, no, there's friends there.
Maybe they just thought you ran too hard.
Yeah. I just really sprinted the 5K.
Yeah, really got after it.
So I would like to give myself a giant L. I deserve it. It was awful.
You'll always be a loser.
All right. So there you go. Bad for the reputation, but I do feel much better now.
That's bad. That's gross.
Can we give DK Metcalf the L for whatever he tried to do yesterday with
Shannon Sharp? Yeah, I mean,
can you read it? Do you have it in front of you? Can you read this?
Yes, I can. The L I thought when we first were going to do this was because of the play itself, right? Like the not smart play to make. But then he got way deeper into it with Shannon Sharp, and of course, Twitter's crashing. Oh, there it goes. Okay. So Shannon Sharp tweets, what was DK thinking when it waited? Why try to play hero in that situation? He says, of course, stop questioning me, little boy, with the crying laughing face.
little boy.
And I was like,
Shannon Sharp?
Right. And I was like, maybe they're friends. Maybe this is funny to them. Maybe they texted about it.
Maybe he doesn't know who Shannon Sharp is.
And then Shannon Sharp responds, nothing to question. That was dumb bleep play, and your pride won't let you admit it. You can't question anything I've done. Pray your resume will be as competitive as mine. Pray. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, okay, decaf's going to back down, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the end of it.
I like how you just combined it into decaf.
Decaf.
I'm sorry. Jeez. Well,
it could be a new nickname for him. What's up, decaf?
Maybe he needed some decaf. So says, from the looks of it, I can wipe my with yours. Continue to gossip, you washed up wannabe. What?
I mean, he's retired. I don't know about washed
That's
up.
That's when Twitter kind of started taking over. Like, DK, you may want to Google his resume.
Right. Chilled. Chill, dude.
So a few hours later, literally 1 hour later, decaf tweets, you know what? You right, Shannon Sharp. I do pray my resume can match up with yours. Hashtag work in progress, baby.
So he took the L.
He takes the L.
Give it to him. He took the L. Let's get credit where it's due. He eventually wised up.
He took the late L.
That's kind of what Pete was saying yesterday, right? Where he tends to, what did he say? He comes around to clear thinking.
Yeah.
Took him a little while, but he got there. Give him the L. That's fine.
The cooler head prevailed. We have our L. Oh.
Are we out of L's?
We might be.
We may be out of L's. I think the L
well,
I took.
You are one pathetic loser.
There we go.
I think my L was so significant that nobody else needs to take L's.
Before we get out, I got to take my own L.
Oh, I thought we were giving the listeners the L.
No, I got to take my own L.
All right.
I said Jamal Adams would bring the juice.
Oh, how'd that go?
It hit him in the face. So I deserve it.
So you're saying he didn't take it? He didn't bring the juice.
Did not bring the juice.
Are you
he, did,
sure?
he left it in the locker room or something because, that one's on me.
Jamal Adams. Who's calling?
I'm the best in the nation.
Nope.
Okay, who's calling me a loser?
Who is calling him a loser? You? Don't say that to his face, man.
Jamal Adams. I'm the best in the nation.
So I do feel kind of bad because I heard that college player that he was doing that after passed away. I
just
didn't realize it was
week.
So recently.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so it might have been
new.
A little bit of a tribute.
It was a tribute.
It was a tribute to
but
him.
But still, he shouted that he was the best in the nation.
He set himself up for it a little bit. Without any context, it looked bad.
Especially when you're going to get hit in the face by the football.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, there you go. You can take the L.
I'm not going to predict he will to bring the juice anymore because right. I think it's my fault. I've said it 3 weeks in a row.
Well, and you created the whole juice idea, and then it just keeps backfiring on you.
Yeah, I'm out.
Who am I to talk about backfiring, man? Looking straight into the bottom of a porta potty is about as low as it gets. Text message from the 509. I would have vomited in the middle of God and everyone. Dude, that is disgusting. All right, maybe my decision-making wasn't where it needed to be. Brock Hewitt will join us next, get his thoughts on DK for sure and on where the Seahawks go from here and a whole lot more. It's coming up. Brock up next on the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Hewitt is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Hewitt says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Hey, buddy, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting a little some hate on the text machine this morning, I won't lie.
Oh, because of Cam Newton?
Well, little because of Cam.
Uh-huh.
Little because I told a really horrifying story about myself vomiting into a porta potty on Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't want to do that if you can avoid it. And then a little bit because I made the mistake of bringing up the word vaccine on the radio. And so you put all those things together and you would imagine that there's hate from all sides and directions.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that kind of morning.
Yesterday was just kind of it was just sad. There's nothing good. There's nothing good to talk about that situation. There's nothing to celebrate. It's just a sad deal.
Well, it is. And I was trying to put myself into some different people's perspectives and how would I feel if I were so-and-so. And I think the one that just, I keep coming back to is how do I feel if I'm one of the kids in the team? And I probably feel betrayed. And I don't know whether I feel that, you know, depending on maybe some of my thoughts, whether it's by the coach or whether it's by the state or whomever, they've been through a lot, man.
Yes, they have.
I mean, there's some kids that have gone from, what, Mike Leach to Rolovich to now this guy, and then there's going to be another coach next year, and they lost seasons to COVID, and they have the Tyler Helinski suicide. I mean, it's been a rough go at Washington State for the last few years.
Yeah, and being a student athlete is hard. I was chatting with my oldest just the other day and look forward to seeing her actually next week, Haley, out at the University of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And She sent me a funny text a little while ago. She said, "You're right, Dad." I was like, "Oh,
darn right I was." That's what I always say.
And you know, it was just about the sacrifice, right? It's 3 hours of basketball practice. It's study hall. It is weights in the morning. It's classes all day. It's like I don't have any time, and everybody else is, you know, having all this fun and doing all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's part of being a student athlete. It is, you know, it's difficult. And Mike, it's difficult. It was difficult 25 years ago. It's difficult even without COVID. Mm-hmm. And what these students have been through the last 18 months, yeah, and all of the testing and all the separation and all the distance they've had to have and all of that. And then you're exactly right. You throw this into the mix, and it's been a pretty brutal run. Now, having said that, and I know you're talking to Kelenic. Did you already talk to him?
No, that's a secret so far. We haven't told the world about that. But you're breaking news here.
You know what? Sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to interview Jared Kelenic after the show today, so we're going to put it on tape. That way, we just have a little bit more time and kind of can, you know how it is.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know when we're going to run it yet. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. But we are going to talk to. We're going to talk to Kelenic. I think at the end of the week, we're going to talk to Paul Sewald. We're going to do some Mariner interviews and start to sprinkle them in.
Very fun. And I'm sorry to blow
that. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I do, though. Well. I always kill the bits. So,
I mean, it's not like I didn't want people to know.
Yeah, but to my point with those guys, remember how galvanizing it was? Some of the adversity they went through at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the betrayal, I'm sure, that they felt. And so you can go one of two ways. You can use that as a galvanizing. I was seeing Jaden Delora's tweet.
They had their manager, but Jaden Delora looks like a hell of a kid.
They do. Now, these guys, Mike, also have their coaches, and Nick Rolovich was the head coach, and I know a few of the assistants as well. So, you know, this wasn't just one. It was multiple guys, and that does make it more difficult, but that is where a Jaden Delora and others just got to say, hey, man, we have to have each other. We have to have each other. Yes, the Mariners still had Scott Service, but ultimately, Mike, it was Mitch and Kyle and Marco and those guys that rallied around with the support of Scott. And in this situation, in a very hard situation, those players there have got to do the same thing.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I really was impressed with what Jaden Delora wrote. He seems like a heck of a kid.
Yeah. He is, I had that Coug USC game. He doesn't get hurt there. They're probably 4-1 and first in the conference too.
Yeah, so they might be.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I like his game too. He seems a pretty good player.
You want to sign him? Sign him as well.
Well, I mean, if you're calling Cam, you might as well call Jaden. Why not? Yes. So Pete says. So what do you make of it? Pete didn't just say he talked to Cam. That's what he told me yesterday. But later in the afternoon, he said he called him twice.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
Oh, Pete is absolutely intrigued and enamored by Cam. Like there would be no issue whatsoever with Pete. In fact, you know, Pete is his loved guys that have a little charisma. He's always, I think, respected Cam's toughness. So that does not surprise me at all. I think you and Coach Carroll very much aligned in your, you know, just appreciation for what Cam is, not focusing on some of the other stuff that people get bothered by, but just as a competitor and everything else. Now, having said that, they didn't sign him because they believe Russ will be back in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and they're going to give Geno this opportunity, and I still don't see that happening.
Hmm. DK Metcalf got after it with Shannon Sharpe yesterday. I'm sure you saw all of that. Eventually, DK just had to take the L and be like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. You're an unbelievably great resume and all of that. But how about this? I was asking Pete about that DK play at the end of the game. Asked him about it, whether he talked to him, and he kind of went off in a different direction. And then I came back to it, and he did not like the question. Listen to this.
I got a chance to get after him, though. He was loose with the ball on the one that came out.
I just don't understand. What's the goal there? I mean, isn't he right by the sideline, and you're just trying to get out of bounds? Why is he fighting for extra yards?
Because he's a competitor, Mike. What do you want? That's what he's going to do. I mean, he was going to get out of bounds. I think he'd have bounced his way out. I think at the time he was right there, but the ball got punched before he got to finish the play. You know, the ball was a little vulnerable, and obviously they're really good at it, and they got him. You know, it was a fantastic. That whole sequence was amazing.
No, Mike, the joke's on you.
Jeez, what? Am I crazy?
No.
Am I losing my mind, or should DK Metcalf have just walked out of bounds in that spot? And if they do they have a shot at the end zone, Brock? They still got like 15 seconds left or something at that
Ooh,
point.
Ooh, I don't know. Was it that much?
13 seconds? Was they had enough time to dive on the ball for a moment or two and then line up and snap it.
Yeah.
I think they probably have 8-10 seconds left. anyway.
Yeah, he
could have taken one shot, deep fade to DK.
The only thing I would say is, okay, you kind of trust yourself to make the first guy miss, then you got to get out of bounds. Like, there's not, okay, great, you're tough, you're a competitor, you have a will to win, all that great stuff, and Pete's going to come to his defense and everything else. But, bro, after you make that first guy miss and you take that risk, get out of bounds. Get out of bounds. That's not that hard. You're not playing, like Shannon Sharp said, you're not playing hero ball. Now, to DK's point, or to DK's side, he probably wasn't even alive, right, when Sharp played?
No, maybe not.
No, I don't think he was. I think Sharp played in the 90s, correct?
Yeah.
So DK.
Call the National Guard, because we are killing the Patriots, he said. Shannon Sharp is a heck of a player, and arguably the best smack talker of all time. I mean, certainly in the conversation
with
Dion and a few other guys.
That's one of those, you got to be careful. You got to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah,
that was me
out
with Bob Sapp, right? Bob Sapp, my old teammate. Everybody loved to get in wars with him. And then you would often just say, yep, okay, I'll take the L on that one.
Why? Because he just get, like, Hulk mad?
Well, like when he called me, what did he call me? Macaulay Culkin with Down Syndrome.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, well, you know what? I have got nothing to respond to that.
He's just gone so far that you just have to...
just goes all the way.
Jeez.
Just take it there and you take your L and you move on. And yesterday, DK, I think, did a little research. And you know, I mean, those guys get it, right? And they get it from every angle. They get trolled. They get hated. They get it from everywhere. And I'm sure that DK had to maybe someone with the Seahawks had to remind him.
Hey, man.
This guy's a Hall of Famer.
I hope what they remind DK, go to bed. You've been up all night. Stop tweeting right now. Go to bed.
Pick
just go to bed.
Yeah, pick fights maybe with other guys. Don't. That's just.
How about just go to bed? You're in the wrong. All you need to do is go out of bounds. So I'm assuming Pete is in the praise publicly,
no, Mike,
criticize privately situation.
No, Mike, he's a competitor.
Did I get it wrong? Is DK supposed to try to score a touchdown there? Is he supposed to like risk whatever to try to make sure he gets to the goal line?
Actually, no. Especially no, you're just... supposed to know you have no timeouts, and he is so fortunate that his teammate was Johnny on the spot and Russell's on the field. You know, Russell almost ran the ball out there. Oh, what a wild Tuesday you've had.
Brock? You never know what you're going to get. You wake up in the morning, and then the day just sort of, like, reveals itself from there. You just never know. So, all right, thanks, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow. All right, there you go. Brock Heward. And we'll record our podcast tomorrow morning as well. That'll be out tomorrow afternoon. Good stuff. All right, we're going to try some different stuff here over the course of the next hour or so. We got a lot of people want to talk to. This is one of my very favorite people in the whole world. I won't even tell you who it is because I don't know whether you even know him, but if I promise you, he is one of my favorite, funniest, most endearing people I know in this business. I hope you'll enjoy talking to him like I will next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.